News Talk ZB and the New Zealand Herald present Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, demystifying your finances.
Hi, I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to the show. The idea of struggling through your twilight years in poverty is a scary prospect, as it should be. You work hard all your life, and you're absolutely entitled to kick back and enjoy the rewards before, well, kicking the bucket. The problem is that to get the reward, you need to be planning from the moment you enter the workforce. A pension is not enough to live on by itself. If you're single, you get around $20,000 a year. If you're a couple, you get around $30,000 a year between both of you. It's especially bad if you haven't been able to buy a house and pay off the mortgage. You could easily blow your entire pension just keeping a roof over your head. Enter KiwiSaver, where you automatically save a bit of your pay every week, saving up a nice little nest egg for retirement. Problem solved. Except it's not. ANZ's released research showing the people who need the most help at retirement aren't using KiwiSaver. 80% of those lucky guys earning more than $100,000 a year use the scheme. But that drops to 53% when you get to people earning less than $50,000. So, what's going on, and how do we fix it?
Newstalk ZB presents Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, boosting your business confidence.
I'm joined now by Anna Marie Lockyer, General Manager Wealth Products for ANZ. So, your company's put out this research on KiwiSaver, and one of the biggest things that stood out to me in this result is that it isn't really reaching the people who need it the most, the people on low incomes who won't have any other buffer when it comes to retirement. Do we know what's happening there?
Yes, yeah, certainly. The paper we released, Dollars and Cents, A Decade of KiwiSaver, and the research we did across 1,000 New Zealanders indicated that KiwiSaver was far more likely to be used by those in high-income households. I guess the concerning thing about that is only about 43% of low-income households have got KiwiSaver. When we asked why people haven't joined KiwiSaver, affordability was absolutely an issue. We've seen this in previous research that we've run. That's the reason that people aren't participating in KiwiSaver. Look, it's really important that we use KiwiSaver for all New Zealanders. It's a workplace savings scheme, and so no matter what your income, you should be able to save through KiwiSaver to help you have a better retirement in the future. And certainly those low-income families, you know, low-income New Zealanders will need KiwiSaver to help support their retirement in the future.
Yeah, and particularly, you know, when you're saving, you get up to the 3% employer match. So those people on low incomes missing out on free money as well, which is a double hit for them. That really sucks.
Look, that's a real concern. I think not only missing out on your 3%, I think let's take it back to missing out on the free money. So the government gives every New Zealander who contributes $1,042 into KiwiSaver some free money every year called the member tax credit. That's $521.
If you took, which you get automatically as well.
Absolutely, as long as you contribute $1,042. I think if you did nothing other than contribute $1,042 every year of KiwiSaver from the age of 25, by the time you retired at age 65, you would have $250,000 made up of your contributions plus the free money from the government and returns from your investment.
Which works out to about $20 a week, by the way, for those listening. So what do you think, how do we get more people to sign up to make these contributions, and should we be looking at it as being compulsory? Because what you mentioned there is people having trouble affording it. So do we do that to people?
So I think, look, compulsory KiwiSaver would certainly catch those working people who have not signed up into KiwiSaver. Incentives like the member tax credit should absolutely incentivise people to contribute at least $1,042. I think employer contributions are another really important benefit of KiwiSaver. So if you contribute 3%, generally your employer will contribute another 3% into your savings scheme. So I guess by the time you reach retirement at the age of 65, only 30% of the money that you now have in your nest egg has been contributed by yourself. The other 70% is a result of your employer contributions, the member tax credits, and investment returns on your portfolio. So look, it's really important to think about, what can you afford to chip in today to help you have a better tomorrow, knowing that others are going to add to your nest egg over time? One of the problems, Frances, is that there's an increasing level of, I guess, demands from New Zealanders to consider a bit more flexibility in contributions rates. 3% may actually be a lot of money for some people on lower incomes today. If they had the option of contributing at 1%, 2%, that might at least allow them to contribute something to their workplace savings schemes.
Yeah, rather than going on a contributions holiday or something like that, at least a little bit.
Yeah, contributions holidays are really, really scary. They're not really a holiday. Holidays are fun things. Contribution holidays actually put you behind later in life. We've proposed, as the Commission for Financial Capability have also proposed, that some changes should be made to the current contributions holiday facility. Simply change the name from the alluring holiday to a more realistic savings suspension and reduce the maximum length to 1 year. That way, members will actually have to think about on an annual basis whether they still need to be on that holiday. There's 131,000 New Zealanders on contributions holidays at the moment, and 80% of those are on holidays for 5 years. You know, a five-year holiday would probably create about a $37,000 gap in your nest egg over time. Oof. And 30% of those people say, you know what, I just forgot to restart. It's quite funny. I was on the ferry not long ago with one of my friends, another mum, and we were talking about KiwiSaver, and she had just got a letter from an Inland Revenue to let her know that her five-year holiday was up. Welcome back. She was actually quite concerned at that point in time because she had had some time off to have children and also decided actually while she was having young kids, I want to put my money into something else, you know, for the first year or so. Forgetting that she took the five-year holiday box meant there was nothing to remind her to get back onto the KiwiSaver bandwagon and start saving for the very important future. Her husband, as his annual statements came in, obviously increased savings year on year. When she finally got that letter from the Inland Revenue Department, she said, you know what, I'm going to start contributing 8% today to catch up. You know, and that's quite a big impost on today's income when you can spread that over a longer period of time. But just thinking every year, you know, am I still contributing at the right amount for me today?
And actually, she'd need to save a lot more than she would have had to save originally to try and catch up on the returns she missed out on there.
Well,
that's so worrying.
The returns and the employer contributions, you know, let alone the free money from the government every year.
So there's also been, I mean, those are some really good points about what can change at the government level. There's also been some issues raised in the past that maybe providers need to change. And obviously you work at ANZ, the biggest KiwiSaver provider. Do you think once people get into the scheme, should providers be getting in touch to say, here are your options, let's talk about them, maybe a growth account? What do you think should be done there?
Look, it's really important, I think, for all providers to help work together as an industry to get the right key messages out to New Zealanders. Too many New Zealanders think they are in KiwiSaver, and by being in KiwiSaver, they will have a great retirement. I think the thing is, you actually need to take action today to have a better tomorrow. So the things that providers need to think about doing is ensuring that all members regularly check in on their KiwiSaver. The fund choice is very important and will take a big impact on your long-term future outcomes. Also, contributions levels. What might be right for me today may not be right for me tomorrow. And therefore, you should always check in on a regular basis to make sure that you're contributing at the right level that will help you get to the place you want to get to when you retire.
So what might that look like, do you think? Is that maybe, we'll stick with the example of ANZ because that's the one that you'll know the best. You know, would that be, do you guys have financial advisors that might call someone up and say, here are your options? Would you send people leaflets? What could this look like?
Goodness, it's a really good question. And it's a question that we challenge ourselves every day on. And look, it's going to change over time. The whole purpose of this paper was really to reflect on the last 10 years and think about what we and other providers can do better moving into the future. I think what I'd like to call it is a retirement reality check. And how often should we be doing that? And how should we be doing that? I think it's really important that you take the right advice and information when you join KiwiSaver to set it up right first time. But then check in at major milestones in your life. The major milestones would probably be when you look to buy your first home, so around about 40, again at about 55, because you're 10 years away from that retirement dream. And then come 65, actually you may or may not be retiring. What we hear from our members is every member, I guess, likes to get information in different ways, and we need to prepare ourselves as an industry to provide advice in the way that members would like to receive it. So, you know, we do send mailings, we do send welcome packs, and some people do engage with that. We also have phone-based advisors who can speak to customers and talk to them about where they're at in their savings journey and what decisions they can make. Tools like risk profile questionnaires, i.e. how much risk do I really want to take to get the outcomes that I want to get? Am I happy to weather the ups and downs of the market, or would I like to have probably a little more certainty in my outcomes? So I think, you know, face-to-face advisors, we use a good network of independent advisors across New Zealand who can talk to you about wider than just your KiwiSaver, talk to you about all of your personal financial goals. I think robo-advice is something that there appears to be a level of interest from New Zealand in. So about 30% of the 1,000 New Zealanders we surveyed in the last couple of weeks suggested that they would use digital solutions to get better advice to make decisions on their KiwiSaver today. And you know what? 30%? If we can provide tools for that 30% to make better decisions today, then we're helping our members. And those that don't want to do it, you know, we have websites, we have paper-based, and we also have, you know, people they can talk to on the phone or pop into a branch and talk to.
Yeah, I definitely think that the technological revolution is just going to keep making an impact here. It is a lot easier for people to sometimes open up about money to a screen rather than a person, as bad as that might be. So, okay, you mentioned, you know, this is a bit of a reality check on 10 years of KiwiSaver. And, yeah, I mean, KiwiSaver is a baby compared to other schemes around the world. So what do you think KiwiSaver, as it stands now, is it doing its job to help people survive retirement happily?
Goodness, if I had to give KiwiSaver a grade today, I'd probably give it a B+. I think we've done an amazing job pulling in 2.7 million members into KiwiSaver, who are now investing $40 billion in funds under management. I think we've helped, you know, a huge number of New Zealanders into their home, and KiwiSaver has helped pay deposits up to $1 billion since 2010. So B+, you know, we have a fantastic centralised administration system through the Inland Revenue Department. Where do I think we could improve it to get our grades up a little bit? It really is that member engagement. How do we help New Zealanders use KiwiSaver for its purpose? And that is to give you a more comfortable retirement. So if we can continue to work with the industry, with the regulators, and with our members to give them the tools that they need to make the decisions today to give them a better tomorrow, then we'll be heading up into the A category.
Fabulous. Oh, well, B+, let's get it up to that, eh? Thank you so much. That's Anna Marie Lockyer, General Manager of Wealth Products for ANZ. If you do want to come and ask me something about this podcast, or you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, come and find me online. I'm on Facebook at Frances Cook Journalist and Twitter at Frances Cook. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcasts app or iHeartRadio to make sure you never miss a trick for your money. And if you wanted to leave me a 5-star review, I'll think you're just awesome. Until next time, have a great day.
And that's Frances cooking up your business confidence for another week on News Talk ZB.